You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, when it comes to applying for a home loan or a refi, the rules have changed big time. What you need to know in about a half hour. Plus, how to make a living as a freelancer, and has Bruce Jenner totally and completely finished his gender transformation? Let's meet the friends. She's the antidote for boredom. Erin Myers is here.
So, was blues legend B.B. King murdered? Well, his kids think so we'll talk about that.
You can't have this much fun even if you hit him with a stick. It's Chris Martin.
In the long history of controversial radio stunts, this one might be the most talked about.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thank you for that. And thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments. They notice your five-star reviews. All right, let's get started. And welcome back, TV news reporter Jill Gillerson.
Yes, I got to be on a sitcom.
Nickelodeon.
Yes, of course it'd be Nickelodeon. I figured as soon as I booked that, I was like, that's my personality, a Nickelodeon sitcom with a bunch of kids.
Yes, what's it called again?
It is called 100 Things to Do Before High School, and it was a lot of fun. I got to be obnoxious and annoying, and, well, I'm probably that way every day anyway,
yeah,
but it was really fun. I enjoyed
myself.
So
they tapped into your inner self.
Oh, she's obnoxious.
Ego.
We already know.
Jill Gillerson.
Yes, Jill
no
Gillerson. And I got my own little trailer with my name on the door. It was very exciting.
Sweet.
Yes.
When's this going to hit the TV?
I don't think until late September or early October. The show hasn't even started airing yet, but I felt like a star for a day.
How about that? Awesome. Well, you're always a star here.
Oh, thank you.
Let us know when we can set our TiVos, will you?
I will. I want to find out because I want to see how bad of an actor I actually was, because I did have to act a little bit.
Well, yeah, you're going to be surrounded by kids. And
I can't be that bad then,
adults,
right?
Well, sure, there's that, but, you know, the kids steal the show no matter what.
They do. They were really cute, actually. They were very cute kids, but I can see how they get big heads. No,
wait, I'm just kidding.
You get treated so well.
Wait till you see the lighting and the camera angles they put on you just to make you look ridiculous.
Great.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
It's Nickelodeon, after all. Did they slime you while you were there?
But you know what? The first thing I thought about when I knew it was Nickelodeon, I was like, I hope I get slimed. I mean, I would love to host, like, bring Double Dare back or something.
That's right. The exact opposite of what most people think about when they go to do a Nickelodeon show. I think they think, they better not slime me.
Oh, see,
going to be problems.
Yeah.
Green slime, I think, would be fun.
Yeah. There's going to be green hell to pay if they slime me.
Right,
really?
Yeah. It's going to be a problem.
I mean, I think that'd be great. I'd be like, yeah, dump the slime on me. It's all good.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems like it would get stuck in my teeth.
So you're fun.
I try.
Let's do what we do best here. Take this bus on a complete U-turn.
Yes.
And start with your first story here. And what's going on? B.B. King's kids think there was foul play?
Two of his daughters think that their father was poisoned by two of his closest aides, one being his business manager, who actually has control of his estate. She's the executor of his will. So this could be about money as well. But
you think?
Yeah. But the attorney for the blues legend says these accusations are ridiculous. But the daughters say that they couldn't actually visit him during his final days and believe he was murdered. Now, at this point, the coroner has said that there's no evidence of foul play, but they still have about 6 to 8 weeks for full forensic results, toxicology reports. And Vegas PD has said that they will only move forward once they have the full report from the investigation to see if it was not natural causes. But even doctors have said they think natural causes. So I'm guessing this might be a money thing.
Yeah.
Well, he lived a long life, especially for a blues musician that played for that long. The unfortunate part is that the attorney also said was it's exactly what he didn't want, was to have his body sort of operated on prior to being buried.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate from that standpoint, unless there was foul play.
Well, you know, he had all kinds of medical issues, too. He was diabetic.
Yes.
He was overweight. He was he probably had a bad ticker and all of that. And so let's say he wasn't poisoned. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he was not poisoned. There's a strong chance he would have keeled over in a day or two anyway.
Yeah, he was on the edge. He lived a long, full life, right? How old was he? 89, something like that?
Yeah,
that's
a
good life.
Yeah.
Yes.
80-something.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's money. The minute you see that somebody else is in charge of the estate and his kids are starting to get crazy, it's
we'll
like,
watch this
allegedly.
Play out.
Yes, the millions. The millions at stake.
All right. On Memorial Day, which was yesterday in real time here in America, where we honor the memory and the valor and the bravery of those who paid the ultimate sacrifice to preserve our freedoms here in these United States. There were fighter jets, there were vintage planes all over the place as part of ceremony. And so when you see the planes up in the air, they don't necessarily seem out of place. However, there was a fair amount of scrambling going on yesterday.
Yeah, there was some pretty obnoxious people probably out there, because on Memorial Day, at least six flights had threats made against them. We know that one was an Air France flight from Paris coming into JFK, and they actually did send fighter jets out to surround it when it came into JFK, because they said they had gotten a chemical weapons threat. Now, it turned out to be nothing, and they're saying that these threats, they didn't seem too credible, but the six flights, they were cleared, but it was just definitely a hassle and something that, you know, a Memorial Day, that's not what it's about. That shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, yeah, so. I agree. Where's
yeah,
the
I
respect?
Wonder, I wonder how they filter through the threats to verify which ones are legitimate or not. Or do you think they don't get that many, and so anyone that they get, they have to take seriously.
Well, especially on a Memorial Day, something like that.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, were these bogus threats put out there by bona fide enemies, or were they just jerk-offs,
mm-hmm.
being idiots.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I wonder. It's how do you sift through that, you know? I mean, there has to be a verification process.
Yeah. And you know what? There's a percentage of idiots out there no matter where you go. I mean, last night at the hockey game, the Ducks versus Blackhawks.
Great game.
Game 5, Western Conference Final for the Stanley Cup in the NHL. And at the beginning of the game, of course, there's always a national anthem. I get to introduce the singer, but prior to that, I introduce the color guard. They come out. And then last night, as part of Memorial Day, we had a moment of silence, during which some idiot fan yells, "Go Hawks!"
Really?
Oh. And so it was heard on national television, too. So, you know, for all the veterans out there and family members of military personnel who lost their lives, and it's just the utmost in disrespect.
Yes, very
and disrespectful. Perhaps lack of intelligence.
Did they kick him out?
I don't know what happened. Hopefully that was the case. But just the same, when you think about the planes scrambling and the threats that some of these passenger planes were potentially under, was it just an idiot like that that
Could
put
be.
The calls in?
I mean, they don't know yet. They've been having a hard time tracking it, so who knows? But, I mean, I feel for the people who are sitting in that Air France flight and all of a sudden you see fighter jets surrounding you.
But
not a good feeling.
Are you proud of our government for following up on these threats?
I think so.
I have to.
You can't let it go. But the problem is, what are you going to do with the idiots?
Yeah. Throw them in jail if you catch
them. Send them to an island and leave them there.
It's not against the law to be stupid.
Well, a threat is against the law, though.
Threat is, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you, in this country, freedom comes with responsibility, and so in exercising your freedom, if it infringes on somebody else's freedom, then you've crossed the line, and now you're subject to prosecution. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
So use your freedom wisely.
And I'll bet that guy at the Ducks game was prosecuted by at least 5,000 fans around him. I hope it was the most uncomfortable game he's ever sat through.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Or was pummeled through.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's when you take your big, big soda that you buy for a lot of money and dump it on them.
Yeah. Accidentally.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Now, talk about idiots. Here's over the years, there have been some infamous radio DJ pranks. Some have ended in death. Others have ended in months-long police and FBI investigations. Others have just caused outrage from the community at large. And this one perhaps takes the cake, Chris. Tell us about this new DJ prank.
Yeah, this one comes out of, what's Danish? What country would that be?
Denmark?
That would be Denmark.
Denmark. Okay, good. Yes. Denmark, yes. Yeah.
They have great pastries there.
Yes. They do. Cheese Danish.
Well, Danish radio hosts, very popular ones, they brought a 9-month-old little baby rabbit named Alan into the studio.
Alan the rabbit.
Alan the rabbit, charcoal gray, cute little thing. And then they proceeded to take a bicycle pump and hit it in the head until it twitched and died.
Oh my
Why
goodness.
Would they do that?
All right. These guys say what they wanted to do was provoke conversation about the hypocrisy of animal activists.
Can I hit them in the head with a bicycle pump?
By the way, the predominant response from most of the people responding on social media, what they say is that there in Denmark, the activists really only care about domestic animals, but don't have any regard for how animals that end up on their dinner table are treated. And they say, if you could see the process that was used to kill animals that end up on your dinner table, why aren't you outraged about that as well? Rabbit, by the way, being one of the foods you can go to the grocery store and buy and
now,
eat.
Now, did these radio personalities, I use the term loosely, proceed to prepare, cook, and eat the rabbit?
Yes, Phil, they did. They skinned the rabbit, boiled it, and ate it. They didn't do it there in the studio. They did it afterwards outside of the studio. But here's one other interesting fact about it. Yep. They did have a professional animal caretaker at the studio the entire day. So they're saying they were following protocol, although I'm not sure where a bicycle pump comes
that
into play.
Is that what is typically used in the industry?
Yes. Yeah.
No, it isn't.
It's not. But it probably is some quick blow to the head for an animal of that size.
Well, they could just do an investigation and describe it or show a video and put it on their website. They don't need to kill a baby bunny in there.
But they're DJs and they're getting attention. And congratulations to you, Chris, for not mentioning their name or their radio station.
Yeah.
Because if they wanted publicity, they're not getting it from us.
It was unnecessary to me, their names and their radio station. Yeah. It didn't matter to
me.
Besides, it's in that Danish language there, Chris, and you probably would
I couldn't pronounce their names, Phil. I'm going to be honest.
Exactly. All right. Up next on Phil Hewlett and Friends, does Bruce Jenner have a vagina? That's next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. It's Phil Hewlett and friends. Thanks for tuning in. The Olsen twins, you know who they are. They're officially not doing the Full House revival, and John Stamos is a little upset about that. He tweeted the following, hashtag heartbroken. I understand they're in a different place, and I wish them the best. He added that it isn't a money gig for the cast. They just want to have fun. So Ashley and Mary-Kate will not be on Fuller House, as it's going to be called.
I had a feeling that was going to be the case with them.
Yeah. I didn't. I felt like I read something last week that they agreed to do the show. Seems to be going back and forth a little.
I think they think they're too cool.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Well, they are pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, they're like 300 millionaires, you know. So, like,
I think you might be undervaluing.
Yes, 300 millionaires. No, there's probably more.
They might have made more than that by the time they got out of junior
high. They might be billionaires now. Yeah. So they don't do TV.
Do it for the fun of it, for the love of the game.
Do they ever smile? I don't think they have fun.
They don't need to smile.
Their money smiles
for them.
They
can hire people with teeth
to smile
to do that for them.
Oy.
Yes. Right.
The joy is lost.
Yeah. All right. But there is joy in television land. Everybody's curious about the gender transformation going through essentially the real Captain America, the guy in the Wheaties box who won the decathlon in the Olympics and just everybody's favorite dad on the Kardashian show. And people always wondered about him. He started to look a little freaky there for a while. But that's the backstory. Ultimately, fast forward, and what we didn't know about Bruce is that he was struggling with the understanding that he was a woman caught in a man's body, and he wanted to do something about that, and he's going through this grand transformation. And at one point, Aaron, I am pretty sure he said he wasn't going to go through the whole change his male organ to female parts.
Yeah, I think that he said that in the Diane Sawyer interview, actually, that he wasn't sure that was going to take
place. Has that changed?
Well, maybe. Because I have to say, the website that's reporting it doesn't always get things right, but there is an entertainment site saying that he did go and get the full gender reassignment surgery and is now legally considered a woman. They said it happened about 3 weeks ago and that he is very happy with the results, but apparently he didn't realize how painful it was going to be.
Well,
which I would imagine it's a very lengthy surgery and changing man parts to women parts. Not going to be the easiest thing. So apparently, though, maybe a woman, according to the site, and that they will show it on the docuseries. And I did see he's blonde now, though, too.
Is he blonde?
Mm-hmm.
Does it suit him? Her? And has he changed
his name yet? No. None of that's happened. So kind of a wait-and-see thing. They're going to find out on the TV show, probably.
Okay. All right. I mean, the only reason we're asking these questions, because really it's none of our business, but because it's
put it on TV, you make it our business.
Yes, exactly. That's why. I mean, sometimes I feel bad talking about it because it's somebody else's deal. But it's really America's deal.
Mm-hmm. And I think...
Oh, trust me. Bruce wants you to talk about it.
Does he?
Yeah, the whole family wants you to talk about it.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
It's for ratings.
Yes. Oh, gosh. How far would you go for ratings?
Well, I think he definitely identifies as a woman.
Oh, he's genuine.
I think just all the secrecy is more for the ratings.
Sure. You know, and the human situation and the function of male and female bodies, sexual or otherwise, is something that sells TV, sells magazines, sells all sorts of things. The folks over at Elle magazine know this very well, Chris, don't they?
They do, and they're sparking more conversation about breastfeeding publicly. Not sure where you guys stand on this.
I generally don't do that.
You choose not to.
That would be weird.
Although I bet it would sell.
Would it?
It'd get high ratings for sure.
Okay, good.
The breastfeeding man.
Yeah, Elle magazine in Australia had their cover model, Nicole Trunfio, breastfeeding her naked son on the cover. And, of course, it sparked a bunch of controversy. The editor said, in an ideal world, no one would have an issue with seeing breastfeeding on the cover of a magazine. Do you guys agree with that?
Well, first
is that an ideal world?
First of all, it's not, breastfeeding is not a sexual event.
Mm-mm. It doesn't bother me, the picture, but I was saying earlier, it's the facial expression.
Oh, there's a picture?
Yes.
Oh, look, the Web Munchkins have already posted it on our show fun page. Okay, I'm looking, and she's looking right at me. Come hither.
Yes,
that's
the come hither face while she's breastfeeding. That's the part I don't like. I don't care about the breastfeeding part. It's the hello, baby.
She's got the pursed model lips. She is drop dead gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She is well endowed.
Is she not allowed to breastfeed because of all those things?
She's allowed to breastfeed, but is it. Are we breaking down barriers by showing it publicly, or is that something that should stay in your house?
No, the only reason they did this was to sell copies of their magazine.
Yes, of course.
But here's the thing. Everything in moderation. Women, go ahead and breastfeed your children in public, but do it discreetly. That way, you don't upset the half or 40% or 60%, who knows, of people who may or may not feel anywhere on the scale from uncomfortable to offended.
I'm not uncomfortable or offended by it, but I do think about the children. You know what I mean? And isn't that what we're...
the children.
And you laugh, but I am being honest. Isn't that an image that they should not be looking at publicly?
Well, not I necessarily, think, yeah. No. And besides, the children are hungry.
Yes. she should be grimacing because the baby's probably biting her. I hear that happens. So that was not the look that you're going to have on your face.
Although,
you're going to have the, oh, man.
This baby is more than a couple of days old, so she's had some practice and built up some calluses.
But, I mean, teeth, baby teeth.
There is
teeth,
a quick, interesting side note, Phil, and I want to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah.
The photo of the model breastfeeding was only sent to the subscribers. All the public covers had the model in a conservative dress, holding the baby in a way that was covering its butt.
Is that the one we're seeing? No, we're seeing the real one, aren't
we? That was the one sent to subscribers. Really, the real one, the mass amount of magazines that were sent out, was a much more conservative photo, no breastfeeding.
Interesting.
Oh. So then the opposers are saying, hey, why celebrate it and then hide it from the public?
Now, there isn't a problem showing the baby's butt. Is that an issue?
No, but in the second cover, the one that went out in mass production, hid the baby's butt.
See, somebody could have a problem with the baby's butt, though. I'm surprised they haven't jumped on that. I mean, they don't show the baby's face, though.
Their excuse was the editor said people walking through supermarkets might not understand the message, so we sent it just to our subscribers.
Now, so subscribers get it better?
I guess.
If I were a supermodel,
yes,
and I just gave birth to a baby, and this I was breastfeeding, it would actually cross my mind that, hey, I'd like to have photos of me breastfeeding my baby. In fact, maybe this idea crosses the minds of many women supermodels or not.
Probably. It's just if you put them out there publicly or not.
Right. But when you're a supermodel, yeah. many of your photos do go public.
Yeah.
And so it's the mindset that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, magazine publishers, how about this idea? I'm willing to do this. Are you into it?
Yeah.
And they said, well, let's think about that. Yes, we'll do that.
Well, my least favorite football player's wife put out a photo of her breastfeeding too. But that was on Instagram.
You're
and
talking
stuff.
About Giselle?
Maybe.
Yeah.
See, we all know.
Bunchen?
Yes, yes. She put out that photo, too, and I think it's very common.
If I convince her to come over here and be on the show, would you and she just roll around on the ground and pull each other's hair?
She's taller than me, though, so I might lose.
Yeah? You don't think you can take her, huh?
No, I could.
Could
It'd
you?
Be
I'm strong.
Fun to watch, though.
I'm very strong.
Would that be our first pay-per-view?
Oh, maybe add green slime.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, speaking of celebrities, you all know who The Rock is, right? He's in that big earthquake movie, San Andreas. He set a Guinness World Record. You know what it was? The most selfies in under 3 minutes.
Wow.
His total? 105.
Wow, you'd think that would have gone to a Kardashian.
Yeah.
I was going to say either most selfies or most bench presses, one of the two.
Yeah. Guy's a good actor, by the way.
He's aight.
Yeah.
Hey, which way are interest rates headed? Do you wonder about that? Should you refi your house now or wait? What about all the new rules? How do they affect your ability to qualify for a home loan? Jeff Lazarson of MortgageGrader.com joins us in the studio to answer your questions and ours next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, Added.com. And you're at our website. We're on Twitter, at Faf Show. Faf like Phil Hewlett and Friends. And we're on Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. We want to talk a little bit about mortgages, about loans, about refis. If you're a homeowner or thinking about buying a house, it's an important thing to consider because things are always changing, including the rules and the interest rates. And joining us live in the studio is a guy who knows a thing or two about said subject is Jeff Lazarson. He's from MortgageGrader.com. And if you forget what that is, we'll repeat it a couple times. We also have it linked on our links page at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Welcome to the studio, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always great to see you. First, tell us what we find when we visit MortgageGrader.com. It's a pretty much a full-service website, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a mortgage broker in California, and I had developed a pricing engine that a lot of companies around the country use for the consumer so that you get the best price no matter where you live or what you look like. It doesn't matter. It drives the mathematically best deal to the consumer, not to the lender.
All right. Very good. Now, it seems like the Fed chair wants to raise interest rates, but the board wants to wait a little longer. Do you get a sense how much longer, and does the current rate of inflation really justify hiking the rates?
Well, we're going to see rates go up about a quarter point this year on the short term from the Fed. It's probably going to happen sometime. My guess is third or fourth quarter of the year. And the reality is, though, that the market is still pretty flat. There's not a lot of inflation out there. You talk to business people out there, some are doing great, others are still struggling. There's a lot of other expenses people have, utilities, taxes, healthcare, that are bogging things down. So even though the economy is certainly a lot better than it was 5, 7, 8 years ago, it's still not fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do a little bit of a raise, but not much.
All right, let's talk about today's rates. How about a 30-year fixed?
30-year fixed today is at 3.625%. That's $417,000 or less.
Mm-hmm.
And agency high balance, that's 417 and a dollar to 625.5. It's at 3.75%. So rates are just smoking hot right now.
Yeah. So you can get $625,000 in real money to buy a house and pay maybe $3,000 a month.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. And it's, I mean, if you think about how cheap money is and then after taxes, the money's almost free. I mean, you pay 1.5-2% after the tax deductibility of it. It is the greatest deal going. And I would tell you that people, if they're thinking about investing anywhere in the U.S., real estate is a good thing because they're not building enough and the population keeps growing.
Yeah. Now, the trick is qualifying. Do you have to walk in the door with an 825 and have worked at the same job for 25 years and have a couple hundred grand in your checking account to make this happen?
No. There's programs out there with 3% down, 3.5% down. There's a zero down for if you're a veteran or in-service military. That's a big misnomer. The thing is that you have to qualify income-wise. You have to show some stability in your life, job, credit, pay your bills. But we get a lot of people out there with really rough credit that qualify all the time. And the problem is you get all these scare stories about what went on 5 or 7 years ago right after the mortgage meltdown. It's a very different world. Is it tough to qualify? I don't know that it's tough. We put you through the rigor, though. The files are this thick instead of really thin the way it used to be. But most of the people get through it. There's only a few critical things that stop you: a recent foreclosure, bankruptcy, short sale. Those are the only hard stops. Other than that, there's workarounds, cosigners, gift funds. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of availability out there.
What about people that maybe they've had a couple of late pays on the credit card or something like that, or maybe they lost a job, but they show the tenacity to stay above water?
So credit card lates aren't that big of a deal. Mortgage lates are a very big deal. If you've lost a job and you have a new job, not much of a problem, depending on how long you've been out of work and depending if you're in the same field or not. But each situation's different, and what you should do is go to your local loan officer and then have them run you through this underwriting engine. There's one from Fannie Mae called Desktop Underwriter. There's one from Freddie Mac called Loan Prospector. They do FHA, VA, and conventional loans on these two underwriting engines. Most all lenders do it for free just because they want your business. It doesn't take long. It takes them 15 minutes to take an application from you, run a credit report, and punch you into the underwriting engine. And if you get the green light and the approval, then you're good to go. You go out and buy your house.
Later in this program, we're going to talk with an expert on freelancing. And a lot of people don't have regular gigs these days, but they're making a good living freelancing. And does that make it more difficult to qualify?
No, because where we are here in Southern California, I do a lot of people from the entertainment industry, and that's very typical of what goes on. I have borrowers that have 5, 10, 20, 1099s and W-2s every year, and it's just a matter of showing the history and the repetition that they have done this for a year or two or more. And that's all we need to do. Maybe a little more paperwork and a lot more involved to document it, but it works just fine.
We're talking with Jeff Lazarson of MortgageGrader.com. And Chris, you have a question for him?
Yeah, just I'm curious, does a person's personality or tenacity factor in anymore with whether or not they're going to be approved for a loan? Or is it just the mathematical nuts and bolts of like debt to income ratio?
Well, that's a great question. So it's debt-to-income ratio. That's one thing. It's your middle credit score is another thing. And then the third thing is what we call loan-to-value. Those are the three most critical points to it. Unfortunately, they've sort of boxed everyone into that. It's like either you fit into that box or not. You know, everybody has a story to tell. And and some people, they have a true, you know, heart-wrenching situation that they should get some consideration on. And when this whole mortgage meltdown thing happened, a lot of that went away. Used to be years ago, I've been doing this 29 years, we would have loan committees and we would sort of go through we called them cry letters. Literally, that's what we called them, cry letters. And does it make sense? And can you back it up? And can you give me a budget? And the underwriters and the lenders, they want to give people loans contrary to what a lot of people think. They want to give the loans. It's the regulators that scare them.
Well, let's talk about that because there are new rules that impact your reporting. No more can you come in and just say, okay, I have a little money in the bank and I've got no lates for at least a year, something like that, and I'm a good guy, let's give me a loan. But you can't do that anymore, right?
No, something came into effect last year, January in 14, the qualified mortgage rule, that it really put a lot of rigor to this whole thing. If you were over a certain debt ratio, then basically if the lender gave you the loan and you failed later, you could all actually claw back on the lender and claw back and say, you know what, you shouldn't have given me that loan. And so, therefore, I'm suing you. Honestly, that's the rules today.
So now the lender is going to be less likely to deal with somebody who's on the fringe.
Right, because the way the law is structured is if that lender is giving you something which you're sort of past that mathematical number, then it's the onus is on the lender to defend it. And so now a lot of the lenders say, well, you got to have 2 or 3 years of payments in the bank and make $250,000 if you want to go over this threshold.
Yeah. Wow. So as a broker, if I walk in the door, a freelancer, because maybe a year ago lost a job but have no choice but to freelance, but, you know, making things more or less work at the household, but maybe a handful of lates here and there, maybe a mortgage late, maybe one of them, and I've got a 575 because of that. I walk in the door with that. You say, well, sorry, can't help you. Do you say that, or is there an addendum to that and say, well, if you talk to this guy, there's like another program. Perhaps you can work with that.
Well, if you said a 575 FICO score, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, that's relatively low, is it not?
Yeah, it's very low. Now, FHA will actually go down to as low as like 510, but then there's other good compensating factors that you have to have. With 1 year self-employed with that credit score, that makes it tough. With 2 years of, you know, self-employed, you could probably get by even with that low credit
because score. You have a track record and the deposits to prove it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And there's even programs out there now, 20% down. I just wrote the column that I write, I just wrote about it this past weekend, 20% down, 1 day out of bankruptcy, foreclosure, short sale, 1 day out, and with a 580 FICO score, we get you a loan right now.
Wow. Is it a little like the old days? Like, well, wait a minute. You don't qualify for a 3.5% loan. You don't qualify for a 4.25%. But, you know, we can get you a 9% loan and make it a 5-year adjustable, something like that. And in between now and the fifth year, if you can get your act together, we can refi that down to whatever the going rate is for a 30.
Well, it's better than that now. They're 30-year loans, not the 5-year ARM. There's no prepayment penalties on them. The rates aren't quite that high. There's other limitations about how much you can charge people. So this particular loan starts in the high fives and it goes up to maybe the low nines. So all those nasty things that they had on the old subprime loans are gone. The balloon payments, the prepayment penalties, the crazy stuff, that's gone. So you might deservedly have to pay a little higher rate because you haven't shown responsible credit history, but they're not as bad as all that. And because there's no prepayment penalty on it, it's in a year later, you get a little better score and show some good mortgage history, you can get out of that into a regular loan.
Jeff Lazarson is with MortgageGrader.com. We have some more questions for you, including how much should the broker make? How much should we pay in points? Is it negotiable? And just if you can walk us through what we need to have ready to go when we're serious about walking in for a home loan, a new loan, or perhaps for a refi, what we need to prepare ourselves for if that's ultimately what we want to get. And we're going to look for your expertise on this. Jeff, thank you very much so far for what you've told us. But more questions with Jeff coming up next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're talking interest rates, refis, home loans, the whole mortgage deal with Jeff Lazarson from MortgageGrader.com. We're talking about the real estate, the interest rate earlier, and you said 3.5, something like that, or 3.45, I forgot.
3.625 for a 30-year.
Okay. Now, you can get a much lower rate if you want to squeeze down the amount of time it takes you to pay off your loan, like a 20 or a 15
or a 10,
yeah,
that's
right?
Yeah, you can get a 15-year down at 2.875%. You can get a 10-year fully amortized down at 2.75%.
Wow. Yeah, but then still, you got to have the cash flow because it's going to be a much higher payment monthly.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to qualify, and you should. You don't want to be doing something stupid where you can't, you want to pay off the loan and you can't afford it. You need to live, too.
But is it smart to pay off your house? People talk about that all the time. Well, maybe you just go ahead and you can't take the money with you.
I am very conservative. I think everybody should pay off their house. I just think it's one less thing to have to worry about. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think they just don't agree with that mindset, but I just think
some people look at it as, well, my mortgage is the cost of doing business, and that's how much I'm going to pay every month for as long as I'm going to pay, and if I could get it lower or get more for less and keep doing that as long as I can do it.
Yeah, but you think about not having a house payment at all.
Wow, what's that like?
Yeah, I know. And when you say that, what's your game plan on that? Do you just make the bucket where you put money in for your mortgage payment a larger percentage than the average person would? You lower your loan time, increase the amount that you pay down on it?
Well, there's a couple of ways to do it. The shorter term loans offer better interest rates, so that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is just throw extra principal toward your payment. So some people have variable income. They work off of commissions, things like that. Maybe they get it quarterly, and then they just throw a bunch at it every quarter. So but the whole point is you put your goal together on paper, and you focus on it, and you commit to it, and you do it.
Yeah. Talking about that commission, we hear the ads on the radio all the time where the guy says, no points, no fees, we'll get you a loan, it's our money, yada, yada. And then you sit down and, okay, fine, what is this $900 right here or this $1,900? Well, that's our whatever. They have a name for it, and they don't use the word fee or points. And I don't know that that's necessarily a bait and switch, but just the same, how much of that is negotiable when you sit down, and what's fair when it comes to points?
Well, compensation, so the lenders don't have to this is another stupid thing about the system. If you're a direct lender, a bank or a non-bank mortgage company, you don't have to disclose any of your compensation. Mortgage brokers, every mortgage broker, we do have to disclose our compensation. So if the borrower is paying direct points out of pocket, it's called borrower pay, that then it's completely negotiable between the borrower and the loan person. And if it's what we call lender paid, where there's rebate pricing where you do these no point, no cost loans, then it's sort of preset like grocery store pricing. And the reason why they do that, the law says we have to do that, is because they don't want one person getting a better deal than another person, or they don't want a discriminatory situation coming up where different classes of people get charged more. So it's grocery store pricing, and it actually works really well. So what we do, 90-95% of our loans are done no cost. And the trick for the consumer that they have to appreciate is the way loans are rigged now from the government as of about 8 years ago, it almost never pays and makes sense to pay points and fees. You're almost always better off doing a no-cost loan, because if you take the difference in the payment between paying the cost and doing a no-cost loan, you'll find it takes years to recoup that cost, because the government doesn't want you spending money on closing costs. They want you spending money on down payment or building up your equity in the event of a refinance.
Right. If you go from 2 points to 1 point to no points, the interest rate's going to tick up.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And no cost is even better than no points, and there's even no cost and rebate to you.
Yeah. Now, you talk about making it fair for everybody from every walk of life, but I imagine the guy with an 810 FICO is going to have more negotiating ground to stand on than the guy with a 575.
Well, that would be a true statement, because most lenders don't do a 575.
Oh, really? Okay.
No. Right. There's very, very few that'll do something like that.
Drat.
But it's negotiating in broader terms of the loan, not so much the commission or the compensation. But one thing I will tell you, and I say this to anybody and everybody, is don't be so quick to grind the loan officer down to making nothing, because I'll tell you what, it's a really hard job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing in a situation like that, guess where they're going to spend their time? They're going to spend their time on the deals that are paying them the fair rate.
Right.
So I will tell you, it takes 20 to 40 hours of loan processing time to put a loan together. It's a hard job.
If you're a direct lender and we do a 0.0 fee loan, are you making money elsewhere off the interest rate, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's back-end money. They make most all their money on the execution or the sale of the loan to Fannie Mae or whoever they're selling it to.
Right. So you get the loan, and your first bill is from the people you did the business with, and then your second bill is from some other place.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, if they sell the servicing on it.
Right.
They may retain the servicing and still sell the ownership of the loan to somebody else. It may be seamless where you don't even know that it was sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Now, people get into a loan, and everybody, fine, it was good faith. Everybody believed that the family or whoever it was that applied was qualified. Mm-hmm. They get into trouble in 3 or 4 months down the road. And it matters who's servicing the loan from state to state, because there are programs, and I'm sure you're aware of them, and you can fill us in, because I'm only kind of sure that there are programs that people can apply for. And the loan and the house, if you're in danger of going sideways on your loan, gets protected, and perhaps there's some money coming from the state or from the feds to bail you out.
Right. So like in California, it takes, I think there's a, I don't know, it's like a 6 month time period or something like that, that you, if you're in trouble before the lender can take any of that foreclosure type action. New York, I've heard it takes years to foreclose on somebody in that state. But as far as helping people, and believe it or not, the lenders do want to help the borrower out. They didn't originally, but they got smacked down so many times for not helping them that I think they've sort of changed their thinking. So the best thing that somebody could do is, if they have a problem, just lay it out there for the lender and ask them for help. Most of the time, they'll give you a loan modification where they'll modify your payments or throw principal on the back end of the loan or stretch out the loan. I mean, they've actually become very good at this, because they don't really want your property back. They don't want the bad report card on them.
Mm-hmm.
So just come clean with them. Things happen, and maybe they'll help you.
A little bit of time left, just about 30 seconds. What do we need to bring emotionally and paperwork-wise when we're serious about getting a loan?
So the last 2 years' tax returns. So for example, right now is 2015. You want your 2013 and 14 tax returns, the last 2 months' asset statements from each one of your accounts, a month of pay stubs, copy your driver's license, and whoever else is going to be on the loan with you. If it's a refinance, you want the property tax bill, fire insurance, and mortgage on the current loan. Those are the basics. And then emotionally, what you want to do really is what you should do is talk to 3 lenders. You should shop.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get a better deal if you shop
around.
And
bring your good disposition.
Yeah.
Like yours. Jeff Lazarson, MortgageGrader.com. Thanks for all the information and for visiting the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, that's it for hour one of the show. More to come, including bizarre celebrity demands, a teacher who should be fired immediately, and what we learned when hackers got into Adult Friend Finder.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, summer vacation do's and don'ts. A kangaroo who must be hitting the gym he is yoked, and how to compete in today's freelance economy. The friends are here, Aaron Myers, Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. Aaron, let's head over to your side of the desk and get things going here. Let's see. Senior pranks are always fun, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, until you get in trouble, because that seems to be what happens most of the time.
Well,
and in this, and in this case,
when property is destroyed. But fine, what happened in this case?
Well, in this case, Maryland teens thought it would be really funny because they thought it would lead to viral video hits. But apparently, it's going to be criminal charges, most likely. I guess a bunch of pranksters in masks and hoodies broke into their school in Maryland around 3:30 a.m. And they released 72,000 ladybugs that they bought on Amazon.
Oh,
into
ladybugs.
The halls of the school. I think they're cute ladybugs.
Cute little harmless ladybugs.
Yes, harmless ladybugs. They're one of the cutest bugs out there. Well, apparently they have charged six students now with fourth degree burglary, property destruction, disruption of school activities, and they were released to their parents. But now one is being told that they can't walk in graduation. But there is a little irony there because apparently one of the other alleged students is a baseball player, and he was allowed to still play in the state championship game.
Oh, because maybe he's a good player.
Probably.
And if they didn't have him on the team, they wouldn't win.
Yes. So I think that's a little unfair. And I don't know what ladybugs. I mean, it might be hard to get them all out of there, but very cute.
Just isolating the ladybugs, I'd say, fine. That there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, haha, good prank. But if they broke some windows or some doors or some locks to break into the school, you know, something like that, then that's a problem.
It sounds like they did have to break in. It doesn't say what was destroyed. I mean, and the property damage was under $1,000.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. You know, we'll see.
Yeah. Wouldn't the better trick be, distracting the janitor and grabbing his keys and then taking it over to the metal shop and making a duplicate key, right?
That sounds like something out of a movie, Phil. Mm-hmm.
Right, because that you can't make a duplicate down at the key shop because they'll see that's an official key. I'm not.
Do not duplicate.
Yes, exactly.
They have key machines now, which is awesome. So you can copy. Do not duplicate keys.
Oh, those little coin-op machines.
Yes, they work really well.
You could put the do not copies in
there? Yes, I've already done it.
What? Why would you do that?
I'm breaking the law because I needed an extra gate key for my building, and they would not give me one.
Oh.
So I copied it myself, and now it's a cute little key with a dog on it.
And your landlord apparently does not listen to this program.
Fingers crossed, no. Just the one person, no.
okay. It's the janitor I feel bad for, though.
He gets fired.
No, I'm saying the janitor in this story because he's probably had to clean out hundreds and thousands of tiny little ladybug carcasses from the ventilation system and all the little cracks in the casework that they crawled into.
Do dead ladybugs give off a smell?
Probably if there's that many, I would think.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was just intrigued that you can buy that many ladybugs on Amazon.
How many
was
it?
That was weird. 72,000.
72,000.
What eats dead ladybugs?
What's that?
Crickets.
Oh, so then you just released 74,000 crickets.
And you know what eats crickets?
What's that?
Frogs and snakes.
Oh, that's a good idea.
See, I see where we're going with this.
Yes.
You know what eats frogs and snakes?
Mongoose.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, the food chain.
Yeah.
The food chain.
That school is just, it's screwed, really. It is, because the attack of the mongoose is coming. Or is it mongeese? Is that plural?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
All right, while we're on the topic of school, the girls these days get to do whatever the boys get to do when it comes to sports. Isn't that right?
It is now, apparently, in Utah. They have launched the first known girls tackle football league in America, and it did have the blessing of USA Football and the NFL. And get this, it was fifth and sixth grade girls. They played at an elementary school in West Jordan, Utah on Saturday.
Equal opportunity concussions.
Yes, so concussions, bruises, all that good stuff. Girls
so
can now
progressive over there in Utah.
Yeah.
that was like a moment of silence right there. Yes.
Yeah, I hope we got that look on your face there, Aaron. That was priceless.
What do you think, though? I mean, good idea? Having girls suit up and hit each other as hard as they can and running full speed?
I think it may or may not be good for the girls. We'll find out in the long term. It's hard to tell now. What the difficult question is what does it do for mom and dad to see their little girl out there getting beaten up real
stresses
good?
Stresses them out.
Yeah. I don't know. I think dads would be kind of like, yeah, that's my girl. She's so tough. And moms are like, why aren't you in dance? that kind of thing.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'd come from at it. Plus, it seems like it would instill an aggressive nature in girls that isn't really what you want to instill in your girl. You
know, we pull hair.
It's an interesting line to walk. I mean, I got into a little heat with an open microphone, which can happen from time to time. You say things that, okay, fine, we could fix in editing. Or you just regret, or you just continue and hope that nobody noticed.
What are you talking about?
Well, I was at a live event, and the Ducks Ice Girls, the power players, were tossing T-shirts out. Okay,
right.
And I made some sort of throw like a girl comment.
Oh, okay.
And there were a couple of young ladies in the front row who took umbrage to that comment and had a real problem with it, and apparently were rather good at throwing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And thought that, that was a comment from a bygone era. And so when I hear you talking about mom wishing that her girl would go into dance and be a little more prissy and all of that, perhaps there will be some moms that say that. Other moms, perhaps not.
No, not everyone will. But I would be more concerned that there's studies that have shown that girls at that age, that they actually are diagnosed with concussions more than boys. So that is something that
well, there's,
they need
that,
to think
speaks
about.
To what I was saying about we'll see. It's fun now, but down the road, what ultimately will be the effect? We don't know.
Yeah, it's a fragile age and a more fragile body than guys, just physiologically, you know.
What? We're fragile?
No. Just slightly more fragile. And then you start, you know, pounding away on your body at a young age like that.
Look, we talk about all the fifth and sixth graders out there who are obese. Here's an opportunity to put that to work.
How about you go and join track?
Yeah, because football, there's some big dudes that are not.
I think you missed what
I
said. Put the obese kids on the line.
Yeah, I got what you were saying.
But,
I got what you were saying.
I'm trying to look at the picture. They're all cute little girls in these
pictures. Hey, while we're talking school, Aaron, one more story. There's a teacher who I believe should be fired immediately.
Aw, I think he's kind of cool, possibly. Apparently, a teacher at Skyview High School in Billings, Montana, said that if his students can get Taylor Swift to call their teacher, then he will cancel their final exam. I think that's awesome.
Fire him.
She's known for reaching out to fans, too.
Yeah.
So it might happen.
But this would be collusion in the denigration of the educational process. These students need to prove that they've learned something by taking this final exam.
It's history finals. Come on.
Yeah.
We take tests all year.
Who needs to know history later on in life? That's not important.
No. It's not.
Yeah.
No.
Because it's totally irresponsible. But that's why Taylor Swift wouldn't do it.
Yes,
I think
imagine.
She would.
Doesn't she have a history major? I mean, a degree. Isn't
I don't
she
think
a history?
She went to school.
Degree? She didn't?
I don't know.
No?
I think her schooling was playing the guitar and becoming a famous singer.
You just totally pulled that out of thin air, didn't you, Phil?
You
of
made
course
that one
I did.
Up.
Right.
Of course I did. But Taylor Swift is the topic of conversation because she's the biggest music superstar to come along in a long time. I mean, she more or less is the only musician out there.
At least that we talk about, yes.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at all the award shows and all of that, nobody else matters.
Mm-mm.
She wins all the awards. And that's why, Kim Kardashian's husband gets so upset, right?
He gets mad at everybody who wins that's not who he thinks it should be.
Yeah. What's his name? Never mind.
Kanye.
Oh, too late.
Oh, sorry.
So, but people tend to be obsessed with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Because she's such a big star. Isn't that right, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Besides her millions of Swift fans... another person has come out and talked about being obsessed with Taylor Swift, only this time it's a headline rocker. They were in Taylor Swift was in England doing a concert, and she actually opened up for the Foo Fighters.
Oh.
Over there.
She opened for the Foo Fighters. That's,
opened for the Foo Fighters. And you know who was most excited about that? Dave Grohl.
He's the Foo Fighters. He's the chief
Their
Foo Fighter,
man,
right?
Yeah.
He's the lead man, yeah. And after Taylor Swift finished her set, Dave jumped on mic and talked about how he's officially obsessed with Taylor Swift. Matter of fact, he said he's so obsessed, she might want to get a restraining order.
Wow.
What was she wearing in her performance?
I don't know. I didn't see the performance per se, but he did say he's all about Swift, and he's dedicating this song to Taylor Swift, his opening song. I don't know which one it was, but he's in love with her.
What does she call her fans? Swifties?
It seems like the right name. I don't know what they're called.
It's not it?
Yeah, it doesn't... really roll off the tongue.
Swifties.
Yeah, she's doing all right. Dave Grohl's doing okay.
She has cracked the list of the top 100 most powerful women in the world. I'll explain later.
She's on like the hottest women list, too, now. Which
I don't know how she made that list, personally.
Yeah, we want to get that list in a little later in the program. Thanks for that, Chris. And you know what? They're all gainfully employed, Taylor Swift and Dave Grohl and all those rock stars out there. But for us, we know it's a tough job market. So what do you do if you can't get into a company and get a job? That very same company might still want to hire you as a freelancer. How do you do that? We talk with an expert on that very subject next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You got to get creative these days when it comes to earning a living. Not only is it tough to get a good job, you're competing with a new breed of worker, the freelancer. And a lot of those freelancers are millennials who, because they're young, they're hip, tapped into new technology, might bump you right out of consideration. Let's learn more about your competition and how to compete in the freelancing world. Joining us live is the author of the book, The Millennial Woman, How to Achieve Success for the New Woman Within. The book's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Terry Lassell. Hello, Terry. Hello, Terry. No, lost Terry. Okay, while we're waiting for Terry, we'll talk about that in a moment. I just want to let you know, the website adultfriendfinder.com was hacked last week.
What's that website about?
That website is about exactly what it sounds like. You're looking for adult friends to just have a moment or 20 of fun in a hotel room, and then you forget about it, right?
Why don't they call it something else?
Well, because that would be rude. But it's called Adult Friend Finder. It was hacked, and the information on 3.9 million users hit the internet, and includes sexual orientation, whether they're looking into having an affair, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the takeaway. It exposed that the membership has a terrible ratio of one woman for every 16 men. There.
Is that a surprise to anybody?
Apparently not.
Oh.
Right. Although one of 16 out of 3.9 million, that's still a lot of girls.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Now, on to freelancing. And we talked about the book, The Millennial Woman, How to Achieve Success for the New Woman Within. It's in the store, and the author is here, Terry Lassell. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, even better now that you're here. Now, let me ask you this, Terry. Why is freelancing gaining more popularity these days?
You know what it is? It's definitely a derivative from the Great Recession. People lost a lot of jobs all across all generations. And, you know, my generation particularly have really hit the mark, but we understand technology. So there's been a lot of new technology and new resources that has been popping up that I would love to share with your audience.
You say you're a generation, so you're a millennial woman. And what does
yes,
that mean?
I
born
am.
In the 80s?
Born from early 80s to early 2000s. So it kind of starts off between 14 years old up to 35.
Yeah, I'm not getting beaten out of a job by a 14-year-old, am I? Come on. Come on, that would just make me mad. Now, it would seem to me it's a good deal for a company to hire a freelancer. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Well, particularly because it's the work from home opportunity, of course, creates less overhead. And not only that, there's a sense of freedom for the worker that they like the company more to stay. So the turnover is not as high. as a person who works from home.
Right. And you don't have to pay the pension and all of that. You don't have to worry about all the things that come with actually investing long term in an employee. Now, if we want to give freelancing a go, we need to know a little better who our competition is. Obviously, it's you and all your other millennial buddies. Millennials, the assumption here is, have latched on to freelancing in a big way. Why is that?
Well, particularly because right now it's about 16 million people who are freelancers. And this is predicted that up until the year 2020, it's going to rise to 65 million. Hmm. That could either be from my generation or from other non-millennials who decide to pick up on this trend. To kind of keep their own security. So rather than job security, it's more like freelancing security, work-life security. Yeah. It's a different mindset nowadays.
Now, there's somebody in an older generation, let's say a yuppie, might have 20, 30 years experience in a pretty high-end job and a reputation as being somebody who's one of the most qualified in a particular line of business. But that company downsizes, which has often been the case, and is now having a difficult time getting back into the industry because of all of the freelancers out there and the company's proclivity toward hiring them on a short-term basis, and so decides to get into the freelancing business. How difficult is it on a competitive basis to be one of the old guard versus one of the younger folks coming up?
You know what's really interesting that you mentioned that? I think that person actually has a higher advantage than the younger millennial. Why? Because, you know, they have the credentials, they have the experience, more experience in what they're doing. And as long as they have an online presence, then people will trust them more. Online is all about trust. And I feel that's a great opportunity.
All right. Give us some examples of popular freelance jobs out there.
One of the most popular freelance jobs is marketing. You can be a freelance marketer. Also, project management. Definitely can work with that. And definitely social media, that's a given. Graphic design, administrative assistant, that is something that maybe if someone is kind of wanting a very easy kind of part-time job, administrative assistant is great because a lot of people need resources to, you know, have blogs written, check statuses, check emails. We all need that, especially entrepreneurs and business owners. So there's always a job for administrative assistant, always.
Yeah.
So there's never a non-job. Like, you can't lose your job as a freelance administrative assistant.
How about that?
If you have a ton of testimonials.
Good to know. And so how do you approach a company for a freelancer? Because are companies at any given moment always looking for somebody to help out?
Absolutely. They definitely are. Most of the time, they'll, of course, let to use their own people. The best way to, there's different types of freelancing. You can either freelance and work for a company, or you can freelance and work for yourself. So you can choose one spectrum or the other. If you decide to work for a company in freelancing, this require a lot more legwork. You need to call and contact and do all of that. And that's kind of not as quick as being online and building up testimonials and doing online marketing.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can do that. In even so, you can even use your own network, like your friends, your family, let them know what you're doing, ask for referrals, go that route. No need to really go to corporate America because, of course, there's tons of barriers initially. Let's start easy.
Yeah. Now, in terms of a strategy, do you just start with your own website and your own social media, or do you sign on to one of those websites that are clearinghouses for jobs and for those who are qualified for certain types of jobs?
I would say do both because you need to have your own website anyways. If you don't have a website, you can't get the customer. They're like, well, who are you? It's kind of like a big stranger. Have a website. You can go to squarespace.com to create one, build one, $10 a month. Very easy to do.
$10 a month, huh?
Also, $10 a month. Yep. $10 a month. Some of them are free, but you want a nice platform. So you can integrate your social media. I have all that information in my book. And also when it comes to creating the market, you need to build trust. You put your own resume out there, you have your LinkedIn, you have everything set up, and then when you're ready to go out there, you deliver and you you deliver.
Yeah.
It's all about high quality. Yeah. The internet, you know, you can tell if things are cheap for internet.
Sure. You know, and I'm thinking some of the things you're saying, you know, you have your website, you have your LinkedIn. Okay, fine. I know what that is, but certain people might be hearing you say that and they're saying, okay, I might as well just give up now. You know, start digging the grave. It's over because I don't even know what she's talking about. So this is your freelance gig, isn't it? Is teaching people the basics, the strategy that it takes to get into this freelancing world and excel at it.
Pretty much, it's that risk that people feel, and I lead and help people to get out of that feeling and do something with their lives.
Yeah, Raul, you have a book, but do you have a website and a LinkedIn and a social media and all that kind of stuff?
I have all that connected. I have Instagram too, if you guys know what that is.
Oh my gosh, is there a selfie on there?
There's a selfie. I got tons of selfies on my Instagram.
Good to know. All right. What's your website so we can follow up with you there?
Go to www.themillennialwoman.com.
Mm-hmm. Two L's millennial and two stuff. N's in millennial. Oh, actually, there's three L's in millennial if you think about it.
Yes.
But that would take work.
Yeah, that will take work. I have different spellings just in case. But themillennialwoman.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can definitely take a look at my book and the resources involved.
And we'll link to you as well. And thank you very much for spending some time with us. We feel like freelancing. That's Terry Lascelle. And up next, Summer Vacations in America, the good, the bad, the ugly. Our travel guy joins us right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We love the animal world, and that's one of the go-to topics for our very own Aaron Myers. Yes. But this is a strange one.
Yeah, it's very unusual. There is a kangaroo in North Lakes, Queensland that apparently has been hanging out at a golf course, and he is not your typical kangaroo. He's buff. He's like 6'5". They think he weighs probably about 210 pounds, and we have a video of him up on the website. He literally has biceps and chest, pec muscles, and abs, and he's huge.
He's
it's just
yoked.
Something you don't see.
Yeah. It's bizarre. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. How does a kangaroo that uses its legs 90% of the time
get arm muscles
ripped on the upper body?
Yeah, I think you're jealous of this kangaroo.
A little bit.
It's been bugging you.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You
don't want to
fight him.
It's a sign of the end times. It's Armageddon, I tell you.
Taking over the world by kangaroos.
Hey, and you know what else it is? It's time you started thinking about your summer vacation trip. You got to get away from these yoked kangaroos, for sure. And after our next conversation, you have no excuse for screwing up your summer vacation, because joining us now is our travel guy, Gary Warner.
Hey, how's it going?
Going great, Gary. And the grand tradition of packing up the kids and heading out on the road for summer vacation. Go ahead.
You know it.
Wax
you know
poetic about it for a moment, will you?
Well, sure. First of all, I wanted to throw in something on the kangaroo thing there. There's a great place called Anglesey Golf Club. That's on the south coast of Australia, where over 100 kangaroos live on this golf course. And to the point that the rules of the course are that any ball that hits a kangaroo is in play. It's basically like a natural hazard. It's just an amazing place. It's outside of Melbourne.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, hundreds. It's just, you know, they basically came there because there's lots of water.
Extra points for a pouch shot.
And apparently,
you don't know what happens, and then it runs away with your ball. Yeah, that'd be quite the rough to deal with. But yeah, back to summer. Yeah, you know, I just finished an article for a magazine about Honey, I Forgot Summer Vacation, that's going to be running in late August. And that reminds us that summer unofficially begins with Memorial Day. We still have a little while until the actual summer solstice. But people need to get on the stick if they want to get their choices.
We're in it. You have to think about it regardless of when summer starts. You have to think Memorial Day to Labor Day. That's your window, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Okay. Because, you know, I always suggest for anybody that doesn't have kids, you know, take your vacation in the spring or the fall or something like that. But summer vacation is, you know, when the kids are out of school, and it's sort of a natural time. And people like to get out on the road, and in some places the weather is the best, and some it's the worst.
Now, when you say out on the road, do people generally drive for summer trips?
Well, certainly this year is actually not a bad year for it. I mean, we've had a just a fantastic run of low gas prices. over the past year, that has sort of come to an end, as I think anybody who's been by the pump the last few days knows. We're back up to $3.93 a gallon.
That's a California price, yeah.
You get California
better prices. Drive across the country and then, you know, leave California with a half a tank and then fill up once you get past the state line.
Right? Oh, yeah, you know, but, you know, I mean, that's up you know, 50 cents from a month ago. And but a year ago, it was $4.15. And back in October of 2012, it was $4.75. So still not a bad deal.
What a bargain.
Yeah, you know, so it just depends. I like to get out on the road. I still like to drive. I know it's not PC and everything like that, but it's nice to go up 101
right.
or 1 or 395 so, or 99.
Oh, yeah, all those great highway numbers. And we expect a ton of people on the road because of the gas prices and
right.
because people are just in that mindset. So what are the top spots?
Well, you know, the top spots are usually our family spots. Now, obviously, national parks and the ability to go out to places like British Columbia and not freeze your, you know what's off.
Yep.
People have a tendency to like to go to the big theme parks, Orlando, Disneyland. The cities are, it's a good time of year, to go to the cities like San Francisco. San Francisco is an odd one because, May, June, July, it's actually quite cold because of the fog. And really, you don't start getting warmth until August, September. So watch out for that one. But it just depends on your, what you want to do. But they're mostly for the most part, summer vacations are kid oriented and beach oriented. Along those lines, I don't know if you saw that one of my little guys that I always parry with, Dr. Beach down there in Florida, Stephen Leatherman, came out with Waimanalo Beach in Oahu as the new number one beach in the country. Of course, he retires whoever wins. So that's a new one for people to visit. It's a good body surfing beach. It's on the south east end of Oahu as you're going up the Windward Coast. Pretty spot. It's also the home of the only, I believe, American to ever reach the top ranks of sumo wrestling.
Ooh.
So they have this huge statue of him as you come into town.
Oh, he's not alive, so you can't pop over and say,
you know,
hello.
I don't know that. I don't know if he is alive or not. It's fairly recently.
Can't,
you know,
pop like, in for some poi and hot.
Well, his mom actually runs a restaurant there in town. So, you know, just ask for the sumo restaurant, you know. But, you know, it's just things are really good also for people who want to go overseas.
Yeah.
The dollar is just a monster right now. It's trading for $1.08 to the euro.
Oh, it's more valuable than the euro now. Or is it not? It's the other way around.
The euro is slightly more.
Oh, I got it.
But exchange rate
confuses me.
Yeah, exchange rate, especially when you get into some of the other currencies. But that's down from $1.37 last year. So you're looking at quite a nice jump there in your value. Plus the pound is at $1.50. Let me get this right. A pound will buy you $1.54, and that's down from $1.68.
That's huge.
Yeah, and I mean usually the pound is where the euro is usually at, and the euro is about where the dollar is at. I mean, when you can go to Europe right now, and you don't have to do all that fancy math, you can just do one to one.
Yeah,
you know, and a lot of these airlines were smart and bought their fuel ahead of time, so I'm seeing some really good prices, especially at the shoulder ends of the season.
Yeah. All right. So what are some of the mistakes people make when they plan their summer vacation?
They wait too long. I mean, you know, if you want to go to Zion or Bryce or Yosemite, you're pretty much out of luck for the better spots. They have a tendency to wait until the end. They obviously overstuff themselves on these trips. They try to do too much so that, you know, what's the point of a summer vacation if you're driving 300 miles every day out there? I mean, we used to do that. My family would drive up to Banff in Alberta, and it seemed like we'd spend all day and then finally get in at 5 o'clock, go out to dinner, and then the next day we were back out on the road. So
well, you know what? I like the driving, but my kids never did. They would just sleep, and I'm looking around. And I said, "Whoa, look at that! Isn't that beautiful?" And I look in the back seat, and they're all snoozing.
Yeah, well, you know, things have changed. A couple things have changed. When the seatbelt laws thankfully came into effect, you know, in the old days we would get the station wagon, big, huge Buick station wagon, and my brother and I would just play in the back with all of our G.I. Joes all the way, you know.
Yeah.
But you just don't do that anymore. You have to be strapped in. Now, they all have
strapped in with your iPad or your DVD player.
Right, which is a sort of a double-edged sword. And then, yeah, it gives them something to do, but you can't get anybody to look out the window anymore.
Yeah, it makes me sad to see the commercials when they promote all the activity you need to keep kids' attention span
to go past a couple of seconds. I can take my son to the best hotel in the country, and the first thing he wants to know is the Wi-Fi. And if the Wi-Fi doesn't work, it's just a dump.
All right, so let me throw him a curve then. Do we have to pack a pup tent and a Coleman stove if we want to travel on a budget?
No, I think motels are still very well priced. Like I said, you know, I think everybody's trying to take advantage of this motor market that's going to be out there, I think, this summer, because gas prices are reasonable. Obviously, the best deals are far in advance and right at the last minute. I use tools like TripAdvisor and Yelp or Priceline. If you're not picky, you can go on Priceline and say, I want a 3-star motel for $60 and you'll get something, and it'll be a 3-star motel. It might not be exactly where you want it to be or the brand you want it to be, but it works quite well.
I have a formula, Gary, and you tell me if this makes sense. If your family has agreed that you're mostly all in, one of your top choice is to go to, say, Orlando and do the whole theme park thing.
Right.
Look at how much money you're going to spend on lodging and theme parks and food inside the theme park. Kind of calculate how much that is. Then decide not to go to the theme park city and go to another town like San Francisco or Boston and spend the same kind of money there that you would had you gone to Orlando. And you will have one spectacular vacation.
I agree. And it's like people who go to Vegas and they say, oh, I got these great deals and it's 100 degrees. But, you know, they never factor in their gambling losses. If they hadn't gone, they probably could have gone to, Paris or something like that.
Sure.
But no, that's I just had that conversation with my daughter who's taking a class trip out to New York and Washington, D.C. And it's like, $3,000 for this whole thing. And I said, look, why don't you just cancel out on that? And we'll take the $3,000 and, come with us to Paris and London.
Sure.
But, she wants to go with all of her buddies, So, I really don't especially like the theme park towns, Orlando especially. I mean, Florida in the summer is just awful.
And a family of four or five, maybe. I mean, you literally are talking about $1,000 a day.
Yeah. And the thing is, people try to save money by, packing everybody into one room, and that much togetherness gets to be real bad. I usually try to break it up by either staying like a place like an Embassy Suites where, there's a couch out in the living area, or find a little bit more down market area, maybe spend a night out on the road, between two places at some point and get two rooms so everybody can have a little breather from each other.
I'm
sleeping in a room with four or five people. I'm kind of over that.
Yeah, me too. Summer vacation. Get to work on it right
get
now.
Get on it right now because you'll be surprised that everything's gone. As Jim Morrison of the Doors saying, summer's almost gone. Summer's almost gone. And it will be almost gone.
And
it'll be August and people will go, oh my gosh, I forgot.
We almost got to the end of the conversation without Gary Warner singing and it just didn't happen.
It never will happen.
And you know what? It would have been a crying shame if we would have got to the end of the conversation without hearing Gary Warner
singing. Yeah, we have to have some, some fun on this thing, but get out there and unfortunately the thing with summer vacation is you do have to lock down your motels. You do have to lock down your hotels. It's not a thing where you can get out on the road with serendipity and just decide where you're going to stay at the end of the day, because you're going to end up being royally,
Good advice, sir. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next week.
You take care. Go Ducks.
Yes, sir. Up next, the 10 most powerful women here on Phil Hewlett
and
Friends.
Sports. Speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Port-Sakal Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Port-Sakal Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsakaldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Yes, you're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil, Chris, and Aaron are here. A 19-year-old guy in New Jersey named Thomas Bacon was arrested earlier this month for getting into a fight with someone else in his house about who was going to eat a piece of sausage. So you see, a guy named Bacon was arrested
for
fighting over sausage. All right, so we have a list, an important list here. Chris, you have gathered this list of the most powerful women.
I sure have.
You say Taylor Swift cracked this list?
Created the list, did.
Oh, she created it?
No. Forbes created the list. Forbes just recently released their list of the top 100 most powerful women in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, Taylor Swift is on the list. She cracked it for the first time. She's number 64 out of 100.
Yeah.
She's the youngest person on the list at 25.
But she's awfully powerful.
She is very powerful, very influential, and I imagine her number will only increase over time on that list. Oprah Winfrey outside the top 10 for the first time. She's at number 12 on the list of world's most powerful women.
No kidding, losing her influence.
She is the highest-ranking billionaire, though, Phil.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see who else we have on the list. Beyonce Knowles at number 21.
Wow.
See, most powerful singer ahead of Taylor Swift. Mm. She's got some years on her, though. Michelle Obama sits at number 10.
The first lady's only the 10th most powerful woman on the planet.
Only the 10th most powerful woman. She's a first lady that's at number 10. There's another first lady at number 2 in Hillary Clinton, or ex-first lady, I should say.
Oh, well, she was Secretary of State. She was a senator. She was all kinds of things.
Number 1, holding the spot at number 1 for quite a while now, German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
And she pronounces it Angela.
Angela Merkel.
Yeah, there you go.
Number 1. 197 women on the list of international billionaires, by the way, now. Ladies, Aaron,
I'm not on that list.
No, but you got to be proud of where women are coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
we're moving up.
Yes.
Girl power.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
All right. Good. I've got a list here, too. You want to know what my list is?
Yeah.
The 10 things vegetarians eat that have meat.
Oh, they're not going to like this.
Bananas. Unless they're organic, one of the main pesticides they use to keep them from ripening too quickly is made from shrimp and crab shells.
Well, you're just splitting hairs now.
Well, that's meat, is it not? Guinness, the beer. They use fish bladders to filter the yeast out, but it's such a small amount they don't have to list it on their ingredients. I was wondering why it tasted that way. Orange juice with omega-3.
Fish.
Omega-3 too. comes from fish oil. Here's one that's surprising. Marshmallows. They used to be made with something called marshmallow root, but now most companies use gelatin, which is made from animal byproducts.
You know what you're doing here, Phil? You're doing what my grandpa used to call picking the fly poop out of the pepper. That's what you're doing.
You want some more? How about Altoids? Again, they use gelatin, except in the sugar-free kind. Bagels.
What?
Some kinds have an enzyme in the dough that's made from bird feathers. Well, see, I mean, this is interesting stuff you didn't
well,
know, right?
So minute,
but a feather, that's...
Yeah. Well, how about Parmesan cheese? Huh, Chris?
Well, that's a milk fat product. Vegetarians, do they eat that?
Some vegetarians are okay with cheese, but Parmesan is made with something called animal rennet, which comes from the stomach lining of calves.
Oh.
Okay.
All right, here's one you wouldn't have thought of. Figs. Technically, they contain meat sometimes because wasps have a habit of burrowing inside them and getting stuck, and the enzymes in the figs convert the bodies of the wasps into protein.
Here's one you didn't think of. Steak.
Yeah. All right. Peanuts. Some brands make the salt stick by using gelatin made from pig hooves. And finally, potato chips. Some of them are vegan, but a lot of them have chicken or beef fat, especially barbecue chips. So there you go, vegetarians. You have to rethink your snack foods.
We just dwindled your list down of foods you can eat to almost nothing.
Yeah. And some celebrities might demand that you keep the wasp-infused figs out of their green room during a concert. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a list and an article I was looking at about bizarre demands. So I picked out a couple of them. Kirk Cameron. Apparently, he got a co-star fired for being in Playboy and then replaced her with his real girlfriend. So because we know he's very religious. Yeah. Cher requires a room for all of her wigs when she's performing. J-Lo's dressing rooms must be all in white, including flowers, candles, couches, etc. And the water must be tepid.
Tepid?
Yes, tepid.
What does that mean? Is that a temperature?
Like room temperature, kind of. Not, I think. Yeah, not cold.
They
not
probably
hot.
Have an app to decide when it reaches tepid.
Yes.
Or tepidity.
This one I just think is ridiculous. Morrissey, the musician, has demanded that all staff at venues lock themselves in their offices so he doesn't run into them and have to look at them when he enters a venue.
I don't want to see any staffers' faces before I go on stage. Yeah.
I have heard even Mariah Carey, this isn't on the list, but I have heard recently Mariah Carey doesn't want people to look her in the eye that she works with either.
Look at me. Where did that start? Somebody was that, I don't know. Somebody started that don't look at me thing.
I don't know, but it's horrible.
It is horrible. Was it Barbara Streisand, maybe?
Maybe. Probably. Babs, she had a big ego.
Yeah. Gosh. Wow. Hey, you know what? If you're into the carjacking business, got to be careful who you jack.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah. I got a wild carjacking story for you. This carjacker in Georgia jumped into the front seat of a man's car, turned and looked at him and said, "You know what this is." And in a twist, the owner of the car quickly pulled his gun from the side of his seat and stuck it in the guy's side. He said all of a sudden the carjacker's demeanor changed very quickly. He became apologetic. He said, "I told him to get out of my car in not so nice terms," and the man pleaded to be able to leave, apologized profusely over and over again, where the owner said, "Nope. We don't try to rob people and just leave. That's not how this is going to happen. Get your face on the pavement."
Yeah.
Held him there until the cops came. He said, during the time he was holding him there, he said things like, "You went to bed and woke up an idiot. You messed up big time, bro." And he capped it all off by saying, "You can tell I don't much like playing the victim role."
Yeah, how about that? Hey, we just passed through Memorial Day, and a 90-year-old guy in Oklahoma dropped out of high school back in 1943 to join the Marines during World War II. And his school finally gave him his degree last week on Thursday, 72 years after he would have graduated had he not enlisted.
Very cool.
Hats off to him and congratulations. Congrats on your grads. Hey, that's it for today's program. We love your comments. Contact is the tab at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. If you listen to us on iTunes, thank you for leaving a comment and a review. Leave us a voicemail on our website. It's free. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.